Hallelujah. Excited to be in church tonight. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited to be here. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. He's got a good plan for us. Amen. He's got a good plan for Cory, Pennsylvania. Hallelujah. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for what God has for us. I'm excited for the direction that He gives us. Hallelujah. You know, the direction of God is a wonderful thing because we can always count on the direction of God, and we can always count that He'll give us the direction of God, you know. In James 1, it tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. Glory to God. But it also says to ask with no doubting. Amen. And ask, because it says a man who doubts is like the waves of the sea. Glory to God, unstable in all their ways. And we know that God's, one of the greatest things that God's grace does is it brings us stability in our life, amen? And I'm so thankful for the stability that God has brought to my life. I'm so grateful for the stability that He's brought in the local church. And you know, you can only find that in the local church as you're connected to the local church. Praise the Lord. And you know, it's not bragging on the local church in the sense that we do anything so perfectly or so right, but we follow the Lord. And that's the way that God has set things up, for the local church to be the place where His people would be stabilized. Amen. You know, the Lord was showing me this week, He's like, as I was studying some things out, you know, I got into some of the deeper things of God, glory to God. And one of the things that He showed me is that not everybody has the time to do that. You know, of course, that's my job, is to get before the Lord and find out what He has. But not everybody has necessarily the time to study those things out. But how many know that we're perfected as we come together, and that that God's given us each a task to do, and a task to do and something to accomplish. And we need to know what that task is for each one of us. Amen. And the more that we know what that task is, or the better we understand the task that He has set before us, the better that we can walk out that plan of God. And in that is where His blessing is found. Amen. I've never found, since I've served God, and the more that I've served God, I've never found God lacking, but I always find Him increasing. Amen. Increasing me, increasing our family, increasing our lives, you know, greater happiness, greater peace, greater everything in every area. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is actually an adaptation from the Tuesday night message that I preached in Mayville. And I just, there was a direction that seemed like a very similar direction. It was an important message for us to get. And so I believe that it's for us here tonight. Amen. But there is some, like I said, some adaptation. So if you're in that service, don't feel like you're going to get gypped out of anything good here tonight. But tonight's message is called The Better Way. Hallelujah. It's got a different title, so it already started off that much different. Amen. Glory to God. The Better Way. And we're going to be talking about the way of the Christian. Amen. We're going to be talking about the way that God endeavors for us to go, and the way that we should look at things. Amen. And it's going to help us to understand some things, because, you know, in order to be hooked up to the plan of God, you got to first be in agreement with the plan of God. And you can't be in agreement with the plan of God if you have no idea what the plan of God is. Amen. But we know this, that God prospers His plans. He prospers His ideas, not ours. Glory to God. And so all the more, we need to make sure that we're in the plan of God. But one of the things that we have to understand about that is that we have to be able to receive the plan of God. And in order to receive the plan of God, you have to understand the truths that the Scripture has laid out. So many Christians, they don't understand the truths the Scripture has laid out. In fact, they believe things opposite of what the Bible says. And that's why they never fully see the blessing. That's why they never see some certain things answered. It's because they're rejecting the very thing that God is giving to bless them. Amen. And so if God says, you know, we'll just say, if God came down from heaven and just stood before you and said, I want you to have this, this thing is going to bless you. And you say, well, I don't want that thing. Praise the Lord. If you say, I don't want that thing, or you resist it, or you reject it, then what you're doing is you're saying, I don't want that thing that God wants me blessed with. And so when you were looking for the blessing, you'll sit there and say, well, Lord, why won't you bless me? He's like, I did, but you're resisting that. Amen. And so we have to have a good understanding of Scripture. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that the Scripture leads us, because it is God's Word. Amen, that it leads us into that blessing, that God wants us blessed and prosperous. But we have to understand that there is also a prosperity message that is out of bounds, that isn't right, that just basically says that you just sit around believing God, you know, trust, believing God for all kinds of things, and you're constantly seeking stuff. And we know that that's not the way either. Amen. Glory to God. Early Christians called themselves, they were known by the phrase, the way, or the term, the way. They called themselves the way. Jesus told us that he was the way, the truth, or he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And so we understand this, that the idea of the way, glory to God, it denotes a way of living or of being or of going or of abiding, praise the Lord. It's a path that is different. It's a certain way. It's a specific way. Amen. When he said, he didn't say, I am a way. Amen. They didn't say that we were of a way. They said that they were of the way. And the way is Christ, the way that he laid out. Amen. And so if we're going to walk in the same way, we have to walk the way that Christ went. We have to go that path and we have to see things. You know, I look at this often as I think about my life or as I think about the churches or as I think about just my day to day. Does it line up with the way Scripture looks? Are we moving in that same direction? Are we moving in the direction that God has already laid out for us? Amen. And, you know, this came to my heart as I was in this message about showing them the way, showing you the way, but also that we're to show the world the way. Amen. And that this is a big thing. And if we don't know the way, you know, there's a lot of Christians that disagree on a lot of things. But these things really shouldn't be so. You know, I heard just recently again, I heard somebody talking about different ways of interpreting the Scripture. Someone said, well, that's the way you interpret it or whatever. Listen, Scripture is not meant to be interpreted a bunch of different ways. It just isn't. Jesus didn't say he is the way. He didn't say he was a way. He said he was the way. And if there is only one way, then there is only one way to go. But see, the thing is people will choose to interpret Scripture based on what they feel or they'll based on what their experience is. And in doing so, they always find themselves out of the way. They find themselves in the wrong way or in a way that's confusing or a way that's lost. And that just simply isn't scriptural. That's just not what God would have for us. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we are people that know the way very, very, very clearly. Amen. You know, I was talking to my wife on the way down here and we were talking about how much the Bible points to the idea of knowledge and that we should have knowledge. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us if we don't know, we can't pray in faith. Amen. 1 John 5 tells us that you know, if we can know that God hears us if we pray according to his will. So we must know his will before we even go to prayer. If you go to prayer without knowing God's will, then you're already in the wrong way. You're in the wrong path. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we can know God's will. Amen. We should know God's will. Not only can we know God's will, we should know God's will. There is not a Christian on earth that should not know God's will. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the situation, it's because you haven't sought the Lord. And if you have sought the Lord and you don't have an answer, a lot of times it's because you're not accepting the right one. I love it what it says there again in James 1, where he tells us that, you know, a person who is double-minded or a person who believes that maybe they'll know, maybe they won't, or this time the God will tell them, but next time they won't. People who live that way, they're unstable. We know that God's plan is stability. Amen. And so Christians should be the hallmark of stability. Your life should scream stability. People should look at you and say, that is a stable person. I want to know why. Amen. Glory to God. And then you can tell them because I'm going the right way. Amen. I know the way to go. Just follow me and I'll show you how to get there. And it's not a way that you designed. It's not a way that you came up. You know, some people try to sometimes call us like, you know, try to say that we're full of ourselves or we're self-righteous. No, we're not self-righteous. I'm not saying follow my way. I'm saying follow God's way. It is not a matter of following my way. It's a matter of following what God said. Amen. And again, that's why we present Scripture. Glory to God. Well, let's get into it. Let's go to Isaiah 1. 119. Praise the Lord. Did you set my clock or no? No. Praise the Lord. I got to know how long I can preach for. Praise God. Isaiah 119. Glory. Hallelujah. Word of God sets us free. Why? Because you'll know something, right? That's what John 8:31-32 always says. We always read that. You'll know something. We need to know something. Amen. We need to know some things. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. So the first thing to see here is that if you are willing and obedient, those are two things you must be. You must be willing and you must be obedient. Amen. So it's not just enough to be obedient. Yes, I'm doing this because this is what I'm supposed to do. But you're also doing it because you're willing to do it. I don't want to just do what God tells me to do. I want to do what God. That's what willingness is. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, shall is a pretty affirmative statement. You can't really look at it any other way. When it says you shall, it means you shall. Yeah. So if you're a Christian who looks at life and say, I ain't, then that means you don't believe you shall. Right. See, because if you believe you shall, then you won't question whether or not you ain't because you know you shall. Yeah. Amen? And shall is something for something you maybe you don't have. It's for a place that you don't have. Praise the Lord. And so if you're not, just believe you shall and you will. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But if you refuse, look what it says here. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. And so we see here that if you refuse and rebel, and of course we know if you refuse and rebel the plan of God, if you're not willing and obedient, of course that's what it talks about. But how about, you know, this is a thing that's sometimes hard to do too. How about being willing to receive what God has for you? You know, some people say, well, that's not the plan of God or that's not the will of God. I don't like, you know, they'll start judging people by what they're doing. They'll say, that's not what God has for. How can you judge what God has for someone else? I said, how can you judge what God has for someone else? Furthermore, a lot of times Christians have such a low thought that they'll never let God bring them up to a higher level. I say, well, God doesn't care about money and finances and stuff like that. That's refusing and rebelling. Why? Because the Bible distinctly tells us that he does care. I said it distinctly tells us that he does care about money and finances. If he didn't, he wouldn't have talked about it so much in his word, which is his will. Amen. But so often that Christians want to throw it to the side and say, well, God doesn't think about this stuff, that God doesn't want you blessed. That there, you know, of course, we preach about judgment and things like that. We don't just stay in a place all the time of talking about God just wanting to increase us and stuff like that. But we have to get this settled in our mind that where we are at is not where God wants us to be. Praise the Lord. That God always wants to take us higher. Hallelujah. I said we have to have it settled in our mind. And you might sit there and think, well, why do I have to have this settled in my mind? Because if you don't have that settled in your mind, there are other things you will not see correctly. You will not see right. If you don't know that God wants to be a supply to you, and not just a supply, but a good supply, that he wants you fully supplied, that he wants you happy, he wants you blessed. If you don't know that, nothing else is going to make sense to you. There's so many other scriptures in there that won't be right. But we know Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that's one of the many scriptures. It tells us right there that God wants us blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was just thinking, I was in a scripture today. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. Over there in 1 Corinthians, don't turn there, just write it down. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And it goes on to say what a blessing that those things are. Amen. Now, this is not talking about heaven, which a lot of people point to, and it tells us. But it also tells us that they are revealed by his Spirit. So we know that these things are revealed to us by God's Spirit. Amen. I said these good things, these things that God has prepared for them, is revealed by his Spirit. But if you don't believe God's will, if you don't believe God's will in that he wants to bring good things to you, if you don't believe that, then you're not going to be listening to the Spirit. And if you're not listening to the Spirit, you're not going to have the direction of the Spirit. And if you don't have the direction of the Spirit, you're not going to be able to do anything God wants you to do. Amen? Because we do know this too, that what God blesses us with isn't just to sit around and hoard it and to look good. It's so that we can be a blessing to others. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we have to establish this fact in Christians. Christians need to understand this about God, that he wants them blessed. There is scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about God wanting to bless you. Amen. If you are willing, obedient, you shall what? Eat the good of the land. The good of the land is not just barely getting by. The good of the land is the good of the land. Amen. We watched, as we were driving down here, you know, we saw some deer out there in the fields, and they were nosing around in the snow, and they were looking for anything they possibly could to eat. How many of you know if you're scraping under snow trying to find anything, and I was thinking about it as we were going, like, you know, those deer in the wintertime, they must not care what it tastes like. Now, they do have taste buds. We know this because if they didn't, they wouldn't eat the things that taste really good that we don't want them to eat. Amen? Praise the Lord. But they eat and they have taste buds just like anything else. They like certain things. You know, even my dog, sometimes there's things that she'll turn her nose up at. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. Because there's something she doesn't want to eat. It doesn't taste good. But we know that the good of the land is not what is left underneath the snow that has been rotting half the winter or whatever, that's sitting down there in the mud covered in dirt. You know, the deer are going to taste that dirt. And I don't care if you're a deer or not a deer, dirt doesn't taste good. Amen? Praise the Lord. How do we know that? Because in the summertime, deer aren't out eating dirt. If it tasted good, that's what they would be eating. But that's not what they're eating. They're eating the green things and the live things. Amen. They're eating in the summertime. They eat the good of the land. Amen. When they come around my house and they eat our blueberry plants and the trees that I planted this year, they're eating the good of the land. Amen. We went and invested in those things. Praise the Lord. So when the Bible says that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, it is not just talking about scraping by, just trying to get by and just getting the bare minimum. No, the good of the land is the fullness of the blessing of God, whatever that is. And so it does not necessarily going to look exactly the same for every person, but we do have to know this, that according to Ephesians 3:20, it's better than what we think. Right. And if it's better than what we think, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can think pretty good. Amen? Amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. So the early church, they knew and understood who and what they were and what they were to do. They knew it. They didn't question it. And that's why you have scriptures about Paul singing in prison. It's why you have scriptures about these, Stephen looking up to heaven and while he was being martyred. You know, these Christians knew things that we don't know. You know, Peter, you know, when he said this, he said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, such as I have, I give you. Amen. When he talked to the, because he knew that silver and gold wasn't the thing that was going to bless the man. What was going to bless the man is being able to walk or see. I can't remember which it was at the time, but it doesn't matter because many people walked and saw, praise the Lord, that didn't before. And so we know that that's God's will. In fact, when we see God all the time through scripture, and I love that scripture, what we read in there, 1 Corinthians, yeah, it's still there. Amen. This is direct quote of the Old Testament. Amen. Actually, this is a quote from out of the book of Isaiah. And so we see that they're preaching a principle in the New Testament based out of Old Testament principles. So it is not wrong to look back into, you know, Isaiah wasn't dealing with Christians. Just like Jeremiah wasn't dealing with Christians in Jeremiah 29:11. But the scripture points back to the Old Testament because that's all they had to go by. And so we know that pointing back to the Old Testament is not a bad thing to do. It's a good thing. What do we learn by that? Well, if you look all through scripture, you see something very interesting. That whenever God wanted to move on people, what did he do? He blessed them. He increased them. When he brought his children out of slavery in the land of Egypt, what did he do? He brought them to a land. It wasn't just a land that was just get by. It was a land that was what? Flowing with milk and honey. A land that had that had fruit that was just enormous and there was abundant. And they went out and they spied land. He said, go out and look at the land that I'm giving you. And look how nice it is. See, God wants us blessed. But this cannot be the focus of our faith. This cannot be the focus of who we are. But if we don't have it solidified in us that God wants us blessed, it does become a focus of our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do I know this? Because whatever you're lacking is what you're going to be seeking. Whatever you're missing in life is what you're going to be after. Why? It's human nature. That's what we all do. That's what people do when they feel like they're lacking. Why did God give us great and precious promises, as the Bible said? Because by giving us these great and precious promises, we have something to hold on to trust in that won't rock us when it doesn't look like it. Because he didn't say it's always going to look good, but he said it always would be good. He said, you shall eat the good of the land if you're willing and obedient. You absolutely shall. But if you refuse the word that says you shall eat the good of the land, what does it say? You will be devoured. Amen? Or you shall be devoured. That's the other shall on the other side of it. And so we have to know these truths. We have to have these solidified in us. Because if we don't, it will affect every area of our life. Praise God. How do I know? Because people who think they're poor won't give into a church offering. People that think they're poor won't support missionaries. People who think they're poor won't support local churches. You know, we talk about this church all the time. This church is not supported by some big organization. This church is wholly 100% and has been since the beginning supported by the lovely people of the Mayville Family Church. Glory to God. And if you think that that there's just a natural abundance there, you're mistaken. Amen. What is it? It's supported by a few of them. It's people who believe that God is a blessing and that God will increase them. And so they're willing to put out, even though they may have to go against, something they don't think they can do financially. And these things are important. But the people that don't believe that it's a work of God, that don't believe that God's a blessing, they don't give anything to it. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't sow anything into your local church or what your local church is doing, you don't believe in the blessing of God. You just don't. If you do, it will reflect in your giving. Amen. And this is just a natural thing. But if you don't think you're blessed, you'll never get there. Most Christians don't believe they're blessed. Why? Because we're not trying to. We've been doing this work for 3 years now. I haven't got paid one red cent for it. In fact, it's cost us money to be here. Praise the Lord. I'm not doing this to get rich. I'm doing this to reach people. Praise the Lord. I'm doing this to be in the plan of God. I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I do say that because God takes care of me. But I say that for understanding. It doesn't, if you're in it to try to increase or to try to gain, then you're in it for the wrong reason. The only thing we're trying to increase is the kingdom of God. But the reason we do so, the reason we can do so, is because we know, not just believe, but we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God always comes through for us, and that everything we sow comes back to us. We know it. It's not something that we sit there and we sit there and think about, well, praise the Lord, he'll come back to us. No, we know it will. It's part of our being. We know as we do the work of the Lord, he always, 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 always provides for us. If you don't believe in the blessing of God, you will not sow. You will not do the things God has called you to do. The number one thing that God's heart is to get people in his kingdom. And if anybody thinks that that's going to happen without money, you are an absolute fool. You cannot get people, you cannot win people without money. Why? Because it costs money. It costs money to have a building. It costs money to travel. It costs money to feed people. It costs money to do everything. Amen? And so it's the number one thing. And so if you believe that God doesn't want to bless you, praise the Lord, you won't sow. You won't do your part. You won't do what God has called you to. Listen, the churches should not be in debt. Churches should be paid off. And I'm not talking about, they should reflect the glory of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the early church, they knew this. Actually, we're told about the Philippians. They gave out of their poverty. Out of their poverty. They didn't, meaning that they didn't have anything in the natural. Now, did they stay that way? I doubt it highly, because the Bible says, like in Luke 6:38, Jesus said to give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. Amen. Notice what it says, though. It says, shall men pour into your bosom. Do you notice that? Praise the Lord. What does that mean? It means that God isn't raining, sprinkling money down out of heaven. It means he is going to inspire a man or woman of God to go and sow into your life or to sow into that. And if people don't obey, if people don't believe it, they'll never do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we're not going to be those people. Praise God. Turn with me to Matthew 6:24. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Matthew 6:24. Now this is Jesus speaking. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon is another word for money. Amen? Yep. And now he goes on to explain what he's talking about. Amen? He goes, therefore, when there's a therefore, it means you can't serve God and mammon. So now he's going to tell us what serving, the difference between serving God and serving mammon and what it looks like. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Glory to God. Now it's going to go on here and tell us a whole bunch of things about our life. You know, don't worry about your clothing and how you're going to eat and all that stuff. But it doesn't just include those things, because he starts off by saying, do not worry about your life. Right. Amen. Don't worry about your life. Yeah. It isn't for you to worry about. Of course, we know he goes on to tell us about the birds of the air. Look how God provides for them, and they don't doubt it. If you've ever doubted whether or not a bird doubts, look at the way they act. Birds are always happy. They're always fluttering around. They're always dive bombing things. They're out there just at feeders being blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I love verse 27. It says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, you can't do anything by worrying that's going to increase your life. Amen. So then he goes on to talk about the lilies of the field and how pretty they are. You notice that Jesus, God, is using the example of things that are beautiful to reflect God's glory. He's saying, look at the things that are beautiful. Look at the things that have abundance. And he's like, God takes care of them. And he's using it in connection, talking about you not worrying about your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so he's saying, and then he goes up there in verse 30. He says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Or you could say this, take care of you. Yeah. Praise God. And then I want to go down, he reiterates it in verse 31, and then down to 32 is where I want to go to. He says, for after all these things, the things of life, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, he's bringing up a point here that is very, very important. The Gentiles are not the people of God. The Gentiles are the people that don't know God. And what he's saying here is, this is what the Gentiles seek. But you're different. You don't seek what the Gentiles seek. Folks, this is a very, very, very important point. This is something that we have to establish in us. If you are seeking the basic necessities of life, you are acting like someone who doesn't know God. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. He said, you can't serve God and money. And you serve God, or you serve money when you're worried about it, when you sit there and think about it, when you try to make more of it. And I'm not saying we got to work and things like that. There are principles to how things work. We understand that. But what Jesus is talking about is what most people are out there doing. When I say most people, I'm talking about probably 95%. How many, what's the rich in the population of the world? It's like 3% or something, I don't know. But it's a lower percentage. Most people are seeking money. They're seeking things to do, ways to get more, ways to be supported. You know, if you look at, I say this all the time, but it's the truth. The number one issue in politics revolves around finances. Every single one of them revolves around finances. I can't pay my bills. What is that? Finances. I can't pay my health care. Finances. My job doesn't provide health care, so I don't have any insurance. Finances. All this stuff is revolved around finances. What are people doing? They're seeking. Now, is it wrong to think about this stuff? No, it's not wrong to think about it, but it should be a fleeting thought to a Christian. A Christian shouldn't be worried about what's going to happen. If you're worried about what's going to happen, you are not a Christian who knows who you are. And you don't know your God. And you need to get in there and find out what God wants for you. Jesus said, don't worry. Praise the Lord. Now, most people said, well, if Jesus told me, I'd do it. Well, Jesus came in here and stood right before you and said, don't worry. It would be no different than Matthew writing it down here in the Bible saying, hey, Jesus said, don't worry. Amen. What does he mean by don't worry? It means don't worry. It's not for you. You're not supposed to think about that stuff. That's the way that ungodly people think. But you're not ungodly. In verse 33, he says, but seek first, or you could say this, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things, all these concerns of life will be added to you. They'll be added to you. You're not going to go out and strive for them. You're not going to go out and try to figure out how it's going to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I recently had a prophecy over me. It was in a service. And Pastor Nancy Dufresne was the one who prophesied it, and she was talking about some increase that God had for me specifically. And she said, "It's not, you know, it's not just about the church, but it's about your personal life too." And she said, "One of the things she said was it's just played over and over in my mind since then, or in my heart, I should say, since then." And what that was, is she said, "Is it's not about figuring out what it is." It's about spending the time with the Lord and finding out what He's already authored. So in other words, you ain't got to figure it all out. You just need to spend time with God and figure it out and find out what He already authored. Because He'll, you know, the thing is, God's been giving us direction on some specific things about this church or other church and stuff like that. But you know what? When I don't know, I put it before the God. When I don't know the next step or something that's coming up, I put it before the Lord. And in the right time, He reveals it to me. Actually, I thought one thing even today, I was seeking Him on, and I thought it wouldn't be revealed to maybe later on. Even this afternoon, He revealed it to me. And so that's the way God does things. He's always wanting to reveal. What eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has for those who love Him, but He has revealed them by His Spirit. If you can hear His Spirit, then you can hear what He's saying. He'll show you how to get it. But the problem is too many Christians are more carnal, more worldly minded. They act more like Gentiles than they do like born again children of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is what we have to understand. Things are a byproduct of righteousness. What's a byproduct? A byproduct is a secondary result. Praise God. This is good. Unintended, but inevitably produced in doing or producing something else. It's not what's intended necessarily. Living righteous isn't all about getting increase, but getting increase is a byproduct of living righteous. Living righteous, being, you know, living righteous is essentially is a person who lives as God, as they ought to do, be, as God has designed them, as God has made them. A person who knows their righteousness, knows how to live in it, is a person who will walk this out perfectly. Praise God. These things are, the things that you need in life are byproducts to your faith. In other words, you don't have to do anything. They just appear because you do the work of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, you don't seek the byproduct. Glory to God. You seek the, you seek the main goal. Amen. We shouldn't seek them, nor should we refuse them. God wants us, wants to take us higher and bring others up with Him. One of the things the Lord was dealing with me about in the Tuesday service at in Mayville was about platforms. About if we're on a platform and we help people come up to a higher level, glory to God. We need to still be striving for a higher level because we need to help people get to another level too. One platform is enough. The problem is, as we get in the door of salvation, praise the Lord, which gets us on the platform, but then we all just stay there. We don't ever go higher. That's not God's plan. But you can't get in God's plan unless you believe His plan. Amen? And just the same, if you refuse, if you're a person who sits there and says that God doesn't care about finances or God doesn't care about your increase or that the gospel isn't about these things, if you're a person who believes that, then you're a person who will never walk in it. Amen. Because you cannot receive what you do not believe. I said you cannot receive what you do not believe. If you don't believe in God's healing, you will never see God's healing. Why? Because it's obtained through belief. If you don't believe in salvation, you'll never see God's salvation. Why? Because it's obtained through belief. Everything God has given us, it always has been this way, and it will always be this way. Everything God has given us comes through faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people like to argue that, but I just tell you to go through the scripture. Look what He did with the Israelites. As long as they believed, they got out of slavery. Actually, I believe this. If they truly trusted God, they would have probably never been in slavery to begin with. Amen? Praise the Lord. Adam and Eve, they were placed in the garden, beautiful garden, with all the fullness, everything that was good. The Bible tells us all the fruit that was good, food that was good, everything that they could ever want was found in the garden. But He said, don't touch one thing. So what did they do? They touched that one thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. People do this with their tithe all the time. God says, don't touch it. They touch it. They curse the ground. They curse their own ground, and then they sit there and say, well, why am I not increasing? Why am I not blessing? Well, did you tithe? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. We've seen it. I've seen it over and over and over again. Amen. byproducts. We shouldn't seek them, but we also shouldn't refuse them. Amen? Because if it's a byproduct, then God, we do know this, that God has designed things to be, he designed righteousness to produce this as a byproduct. Now, the definition of byproduct I gave you was not in Scripture. That was the actual definition. But it was to get you to understand something, that it's not what the goal is or the main goal, but it is something that comes along with it. Amen? But not all byproducts are bad. Amen? Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. God wants to take us higher to bring others up, and we have to know that. We have to understand that. If you don't believe that God wants to take you higher, you'll never be bring people up to your level. One of the saddest things is to hear a Christian trying to console somebody who has had some kind of loss, whether it's a death in the family or maybe it's a job loss or something like that. And you hear a Christian consoling them, telling them, I once heard a Christian heard about a Christian consoling a Christian who had lost a baby, and the person said, "Well, Lord just needed another angel." Which is a complete lie from the pit of hell. First of all, angels don't come that way. We know that. But then that didn't console the mother. It made her mad at God. Yeah. Why? Because she thinks God's taking the baby. Now, God isn't taking babies. It's stupid to think that. If you think that, I'm just telling you right now, it's stupid. Yeah. I'm not trying to call you stupid, but if you believe that, it's stupid. It's dumb. It's ridiculous to think that a loving father what purpose would there be to give a mother a baby and then to rip it away from her? That's just dumb. That's not God. Hallelujah. Well, and I don't really care if people get mad about that, because it's not God. It's not the God of the Bible. Amen? Praise the Lord. The God that gives and takes away is the devil. Just so you know. And I can back that up with Scripture. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God didn't create the earth and its fullness for temptation. Amen? That's not what he created it for. Now, we do know this, that God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them. Amen? God created, the Bible tells us in Genesis, back there when it's talking about the land of Eden and the garden that God planted, he said in the land of Havilah, there's gold, and he said the gold is good. God made gold, he made silver. It's good. Praise God. He didn't make it to tempt people. God didn't just create all this beautiful stuff, all this abundance, to just say, I want it to be a temptation. He created it to show us what he wanted, what his intent was for the human race. Yes. Praise the Lord. But he did warn us about being covetous, to try to get things that don't belong to us, to sit there and drool over the gold and the silver and make it as though it's some important thing. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:26. I'm just going to pull it up here. It says, "For the earth is the Lord and is the Lord's and all its fullness." And so it all belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. What's the fullness? The fullness is every good thing that God has put on the earth. And if he called it good, it's good. Amen. That's all there is to it. It is not like, listen, if money was evil, if it truly was evil. See, a lot of Christians say that, but they don't know. They quote the Scripture wrong. Well, isn't money the root of all evil? No, that's not what the Bible says. It said the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Yeah. There's a big difference between that. Yeah. Money is an inanimate object. There's no evil in it. Right. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. It'll burn up someday. It's not money, though. The money system, the monetary system, is based off of gold and silver. Originally, it was anyways. That was the idea behind it. That was what God created. There was wealth to it. Amen. And so it's all his. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Yeah. So Jesus said, "You're blessed if you're meek, because you shall inherit the earth," which is the fullness of God that belongs to him. In other words, he wants you to have it. Yes. Glory to God. But that word meek is important. To be meek. Glory to God. In the Old Testament, those who are meek are those if you study it out, it's those who wholly are relying on God rather than their own strength. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So they're holy people who are completely invested in God. That's what the meek is. And so when it says the meek shall inherit the earth, it's those who trust in God. Yeah. Those are the ones who have access to all that heaven has to offer, which is everything that's on the earth. But see, but that, and we can't get this wrong. We can't twist this up. Don't make this something that it's not. And don't make me say that I'm saying something that I'm not. I am not saying that by serving God, all of a sudden you're going to be loaded, that you're going to be a millionaire, that you're going to be running around in Mercedes and all these things. I'm not saying you're not either. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying it doesn't matter. But I'm saying your belief that God is withholding from you, or your belief that somehow God doesn't want you to be blessed, is foolishness. And somehow that your belief, or your belief that God's blessing is different than what you would consider blessing. Listen, the Bible tells us it's a blessing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit, right? When it says that, it's not blessed God's way. Like, you wouldn't be blessed. Glory to God. He couldn't call you blessed if it wasn't a blessing to you. Amen? Glory to God. So many people don't get this. They're like, for some reason, they think that God has some kind of radical standard that's so different from anything that we can understand, that when God says he's a God of love, that we just can't understand God's love, because God's love is all... No, of course we can understand God's love. He made us in his image. He made us in his likeness. We can understand what goodness is because he told us. God is the embodiment of goodness. Praise the Lord. So if we understand God, we will certainly understand what goodness is. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Furthermore, the Bible tells us that we are to have knowledge on who God is. We are to understand who God is and not be moved by the things that are opposite of God, because those things can't affect us unless we let them. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. But see, when Christians are focused on stuff, and you say, well, not all Christians are focused on stuff. I will guarantee you that most Christians are focused on stuff. And this is what I mean. Because they go to God and they pray for something. And most of the time, that something is something for their own household or someone they know. There's some personal attachment to what they're praying for. What are they doing? They're praying for stuff. I don't care what it is. Lord, let this pass from me. You know how many people repeat that prayer that Jesus prayed? And they have no idea what Jesus was praying. They have no idea the concept of what he was saying or what he was doing. They have no idea. Nevertheless, your will be done. Jesus was saying something very important, but a lot of Christians have no idea what he was saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus knew the will of God. He got there. And in the flesh, he didn't want to go through with the will of God. That's why he said, nevertheless, your will be done. Not as I will, but you will. Glory to God. That's why he said that. But he already knew what the will of God was. Hallelujah. He knew what it is. And Christian, you're supposed to know too. And it all starts with how you receive your... If you believe that God is an abusive father, then you're never going to act right. You're never going to sow right. You're never going to do right. You're never going to be a Christian who wins that many people, because most people, they hear Christians say things like God wants to give and take away, and they think you're fools for following them. And guess what? If you serve a God who gives and takes away, you are a fool. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's a little bold, but it's the truth. Right. Amen. Right. Glory to God. So, you know, we read back there, we didn't read it. Well, we did read it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And of course, we have to look at what the kingdom of God is. Because a lot of people don't understand that. But don't you know the Bible tells us? Aren't we glad? Turn with me to Romans 14. Praise God. Romans 14 will tell us what the kingdom of God is. Romans 14, verse 17. Well, first it tells us what the kingdom of God is not. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, the kingdom of God is not just worrying about what you can fill yourself with. It's not worrying about whether or not you're eating the right thing or the wrong thing. Right. Do you know the funny thing about following the Spirit, the amazing thing about following the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will literally let you know all things. Yeah. You'll be going up to eat something, and all of a sudden you'll have something on the inside of you that says, don't eat that. Be the Holy Spirit telling you, saving you, protecting you from something. Praise God. Hallelujah. But a lot of people just ignore it and they'll eat it anyways. And then they get into trouble. I've actually heard of this happening. Amen. I've had this happening. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell you, I don't know how many times. I'm just going through life. I'm maybe getting ready to go somewhere. And now all of a sudden in my spirit, I know that I get direction. Make sure you bring this. And I'm like, I won't need that. Yeah. I've thought that before. And then turn around, and like within an hour, sure enough, I'm in a situation. Man, I wish I would have brought that. You know, whatever it is. Glory to God. That's why I'm very careful, especially when the Holy Spirit, or when I got in the Spirit, and it seems like I hear you bring your gun. I want to make sure I bring it. Hallelujah, because I don't want to be caught in that situation. You know what I mean? But seriously, there's a lot of situations where we can, where the Holy Spirit is always trying to tell us and lead us into things, and He's always trying to save us from any. Do you know the Bible? Oh, this is so awesome. God will save you from any little inconvenience if you'll just listen to Him. Any little inconvenience. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it comes with trusting. You got to hear. But if you don't even believe the word, then you're not going to believe the Spirit, because you won't know what to listen to. Amen. This is why Christians who think wrong. Oh, man. Well, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Notice that the kingdom of God is attached to the Holy Spirit. And it's attached to peace and joy, which are all things that most people are seeking anyways. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the first one is very important. Righteousness. Righteousness, the state of a man who is as they ought to be, or the state of a woman who is as they ought to be. That's what righteousness is. They're right before God. Amen. Glory to God. That's exciting. But with righteousness, there's a byproduct. It's not eating and drinking, because you don't worry about that. Praise God. He always supplies. Praise God. So go on here. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by man. Glory to God. Now that word approved by man is interesting. I got into that this afternoon. It means to be accepted, particularly though of coins and money. Okay, now let me explain this. Accepted, pleasing, and acceptable. In the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today, and no paper money. This is what I got out of Strong's Concordance. This is Bible scholars have studied this out. Amen. There was no paper money. All money was made from metal, heated into liquid, and then poured into molds and allowed to cool. Amen. It was necessary to smooth off even all the uneven edges. Okay. The coins were comparatively soft, and of course, many people shaved them closely. In other words, they would, that's one of the reasons that quarters have ridges. A lot of people don't know that, but they put ridges on the outside of quarters because quarters were originally made of silver. And what people would do is they used to, scrape off a little bit of silver. Well, you do that on enough coins, and you can get a pile of silver. You know, even today, like I knew a jeweler who, he just cleaned rings for people, buff them on a buffing wheel. And they would take those wheels after they used them for a while. They would take them and they would sell them to gold companies that would process those down and extract the little bits of gold that were left on the buffing wheels. And there's actually quite a bit of money in that. Yeah, praise the Lord. A lot of people don't know that, but that's what they do. So they make a little bit, because every time they buff something, they're taking just a little bit off. But you take a lot of little bits, and it adds up quickly. And so people used to do this with money. They put the ridges on the quarters, because if it was scraped, then you could know that it was scraped, and you didn't have the full amount, because our money actually used to be worth something. Amen? Praise the Lord. So they would shave them closely. In one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens to stop the practice of shaving down the coins then in circulation. But some money changers were men of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine, full-weighted money into circulation. Such men were called, and the Greek word for the same word approved by men, the Greek word is like, I think it's dokimos, if you want to pronounce it like that, dokimos. And these men were actually called that, which also meant approved. Glory to God. And so we see this here. When you live righteously, you are approved by men. In other words, people, your integrity stands strong with men. And that's the reason that this word is used here. But notice it's also used in the context of finances. Why? Because you always can tell a person's integrity by their finances, by what they do with it. Amen. And so when you're approved by God, when you serve God in these things, you're approved by men. Amen. And for people will know that you're an honest person. Glory to God. Anybody that knows me knows that I am not after money. They know that I'm not just doing that. And so there's people, especially those who are closer to me or those even that serve me closely, they know that I have integrity in those areas. I want to give an example beyond myself, of course. When I was an usher originally in the Jamestown Church, I would collect the offering week in and week out, and then we would go back and we would count it for the church and we'd separate it and do all the things that we had to do. But one of the things that my pastor always talked about is he always preached about tithes and offerings. Yeah. One of the things I learned about my pastor early on was that every week, because I would go, you'd see the envelopes and you'd see what people put in, you emptied the money out of it, so you would know. And not that we were trying to figure out who gave what and everything, but you just can't avoid that when you're counting those things. And so, but I noticed every single time my pastor took up an offering, he had an envelope in there, and his envelope was always one of the biggest ones. Praise God. Hallelujah. To this day, my wife and I are not financial, because we are the number two giver in our churches. Praise the Lord. And we are the number one giver percentage wise. Why do we do that? Because we are going to have the same integrity. We are not going to be people who are and we don't even make the most. But those are the way it is. Why do I say that? Praise God. Wasn't planning on bringing that out. But why do I say that? Because the Bible says that we're supposed to be examples. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see this, that people's integrity is attached to what they do financially. But it's also how you see God. Because if you don't trust God, you'll never walk in this kind of integrity. If you don't really believe God, you'll never push yourself to do more for the kingdom of God. And what you'll do is you'll constantly be wrapped up. We're not like the Gentiles who are always worried. Listen, praise God, hallelujah. Right before service, I opened my wallet, the last $2 I had, put it in the thing out there. Why? Because I know that God's going to bring it back. Amen? Glory to God. See, you have to be able to get to a place where you just trust God no matter what. And the last doesn't matter, because you know it's never the last. You know that there's always more. Amen? Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to let God do in me the things that he desires. We cannot limit him based in our own ideas. We have to get over this. We have to stop being people that are trying to limit or that do limit God. And you say, can we limit God? Yes, absolutely you can limit God by not following his word, by not trusting him, by not saying, I am all in to what God is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yes. We are not to live like those Gentiles any longer, because we have been made new. Yes. If we live the way that we always lived, if we act the way, listen, even your thoughts, the way that you think about things has got to be different. Yes. You can't just always look at things the way that you always did. You can't look at everything the way the rest of the world looks. Listen, I don't always like what's happening in the political realm, but especially recently. But you know what? It doesn't affect my happiness. Why? Because none of that is going to affect my happiness, because my happiness is not based on what men and women do. My happiness is based on whether or not I'm following God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what it means to be a new creation. But so often, God's people act like they always acted. They come into the church and they act like they always acted. They want to conform the church to the way that they do things. You know how many people want to do that? It's almost funny. But as a pastor now, just 6 years, one thing I've learned is that there'll be people who come in for the first time and they want to rule the roost, man. They didn't labor for the work. They weren't the ones that spent hours and hours remodeling a building or painting the walls or doing all the... But man, they want to come in and have a say. Wow. Well, that's the old nature. The new nature knows that your opinion doesn't mean anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My opinion doesn't mean anything. Do you know that? I don't consult my opinion on everything we do. I have learned to try not to consult it at all, actually, and not have an opinion. I consult the Lord. Lord, what's the direction you have? One of the things I've been learning recently, and it's actually been setting me free, but I don't even get my will in the church. This isn't the building I would have picked. The one in Mayville isn't the building I would have picked. Even the design of it, although I had a part of it, wasn't fully what I would have done if I was just given free reign. Praise the Lord. I considered what God wanted to do. Amen. I considered how he wanted to do things. That's why people that come in and say they just want to upset and change everything, or they think they want to change their mind. Oh, I love that too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some Christian who's been unstable, not even in church. And then they come in and they want to direct you, the pastor, on how you should be doing things. Oh God, I love that. That is so much fun. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Christians have got to understand you don't know everything. I don't know everything, but I do know the Spirit. And I'm endeavoring to do everything in life led by the Spirit. That doesn't mean I'm going to probably always do it perfectly. Glory to God. But I'm certainly trying. And there's fruit. Jesus said there'd be fruit, and there is fruit. Turn with me to Philippians 3:12. Hallelujah. I always love saying this. Flip to Philippians. Flip to Philippians. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:12. I love this book of the Bible. It's such an awesome wealth of knowledge. I mean, they all are, but this is just, I just love this one. Glory to God. Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. See, when you come in, if you come into a place or come into a thing thinking that you have the direction, you're somebody who thinks that you're already perfected. Praise the Lord. It's free, no charge. Glory to God. Not that I am perfected, or I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. There is a reason you're saved. Yeah. And you know what the sad truth is? There's many people that don't really care what the reason is. They're thankful that they're saved. They're thankful they're not going to hell. But they don't realize that there's actually a purpose to them being saved. And their purpose to them being saved is not to sit their butt in a church and just ever do anything, never grow anywhere, never become anything. You know, praise the Lord. Sometimes something you can see in a much older generation is that people get into their 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they think, well, there isn't much for me to do anymore. I'll just show up. No, there is a lot for you to do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, there's no such thing as retirement in God. There might be retirement in your job, but there isn't retirement in God. You don't retire out of the things of God. Man, praise God, hallelujah. I hear pastors, I'll just tell you the truth. I don't plan on ever retiring. Not unless God specifically told me, but I don't plan on retiring. Why? Because I just don't see that in Scripture. I see everybody in Scripture doing what they did for God until they died. Hallelujah. If you're working for the Lord, you don't get to go just spend the last 20 years of your life in Hawaii. That's not what it's about, because that's not why you're here, and that's not what you're saved. But people who don't get that are people that don't get this right here. He said, I need to press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Praise God. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, to have apprehended, but one thing I do, this is Paul saying this. Amen. Paul didn't, and you certainly haven't done as much as he did. So if he didn't have a chance to quit, then you don't either. Amen? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize. What's the prize? It's money, riches. It's all the things that you can fill your house with. Not at all. The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, praise God, hallelujah. Well, I ain't going to go down that road. Have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. God wants us to be in the same mind, pressing forward to those things which are ahead, pressing forward to the upward call in Christ Jesus. The upward call is not, lay on your couch and watch and eat potato chips and watch reruns of, Duck Dynasty. That's not what God has for you, praise the Lord. I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm saying that, listen, Christians, we need to come. You know, when you're in a race, the Bible says that we're in a race. It says run your own race. Amen. Work out your own salvation. Run your race. Praise the Lord. We're told all these things. This is the thing about we know about a race. What does not happen at a race? People don't get to the last lap and they slow down. People don't get to the last. In fact, that's where a lot of people get hurt. Why? Because they're giving everything they have. They're pushing ahead everything that they possibly have. Praise the Lord. They are not going to back off. They're not going to slow down. They are going to cross that finish line full bore. Praise the Lord. Trying to think of, I can say the right things. You know what I mean? Guns to the wall. Guns blazing. Amen. Just all after it. Praise the Lord. This is the way we need to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. We don't go stale. Show me in Scripture where one righteous person, remember righteousness means in the state which you ought to be. Right? Amen. Show me in Scripture where one righteous person just sailed across the finish line. Just kind of cruised on in. No, man, they were running full bore all the way in. Hallelujah. Well, they saw that when the Bible says much, you know, about congregating together. It says much more as you see the day approaching. Listen, as you see the day approaching, that means there's less time to get all a lot done. Amen? A whole lot done. And so you need to run after it even harder. Amen? People are not getting reached by Christians sitting in seats in churches. They are getting reached by Christians that sit in seats during churches, listen, and go out into the world and cause that increase to come in. Amen? That's the only way that it's going to happen. We don't get to just have church and be stagnant. You know, there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of churches that are drying up. And what are they? Because they're churches that become stagnant. They're not flowing with the power of God. That's right. If you're flowing with the power of God, it'll never die. I said it'll never die. It'll never fizzle out. Because God's plan is not for it to fizzle out. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this. Isaiah 54:6. Glory to God. I'm just going to pull it up here. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. God is calling you like a woman who is denied. That's what the example he's using. The very things that she desires in a spouse. Amen. When she was denied that, you know, she's just crying out for those things. That's how God has called us. That's how he's calling us. He is calling his church saying, listen, you got to get it out. You got to get on it, man. You got to get going. You got to hunger for these things. You got to thirst for these things. You got to get over yourself and start getting into the plan of God. You know what I have found over and over and over again? The more I focus on the plan of God, the easier my life is. Yeah, we pay off debt. We get things. All these things happen. Why? Because all these things will be added to you. When you seek first the kingdom of God and you're not worried about how it's going to happen, how you're going to get there, praise God. God just comes through for you. He always does. Amen. And he's done so not even increasing our paycheck, just doing it in various ways. God's creative in the ways that he does it. And I think that God will do that. It doesn't always have to look good. In fact, I think it's good that it doesn't always look good. Why? Because when it doesn't look good and God comes through, there's nothing else to say but God did it. And I love that. I love looking at my life and say, the only reason I'm here is God. The only reason it ain't because of you. Amen? Well, listen, the reason we have our house, a nice house, isn't because of you. It's because of God. The reason we drive nice vehicles isn't because of you. It's because of God. It's because of what God wants to do. Amen? And if you follow God, the same thing will happen with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? What's God calling you to? Do you know? And if you don't know, you need to make that the ultimate desire of your heart. And when you do, you'll be surprised what happens. God will show you. He'll direct you. He'll guide you. He'll bless you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.